This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, the Senate releases the text of their Better Care Reconciliation Act, a measure that will repeal and replace Obamacare. One of the Senate drivers for the measure, Wyoming Senator John Barrasso, will join us later here on Washington Watch with the details. And just moments ago, Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler introduced and debated her amendment to prevent the military from using federal tax dollars for transgender transition surgeries. We'll give you an update on the National Defense Authorization Act a little later here on Washington Watch. And yesterday, the House passed three bipartisan bills dealing with the growing problem of human trafficking. One of the authors, Michigan Congressman Tim Walberg, joins me in just a moment with the details on those measures. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T. Perkins. Again, you can find lots of information there at TonyPerkins.com. If you happen to miss any of the program on your drive home tonight, it's all archived. It'll be there later, TonyPerkins.com. All right, the House passed three bipartisan bills yesterday to crack down on human trafficking and to implement a stronger detection system here in the United States. The three bills were sponsored by Representatives Chris Smith of New Jersey, Tim Walberg of Michigan, and Vicki Hartzler of Missouri. With us now is Congressman Tim Walberg. He represents the 7th Congressional District of Michigan. He is the chairman of the Subcommittee on Health, Employment, Labor, and Pensions. He also served as a pastor for a number of years and has been a part of speaking to our Watchman pastors. Congressman, first, congratulations on passing yesterday's bill.
Tony, thank you so much. Glad to have that opportunity. And it is just a step, but it reminds us that the spiritual need in this country and around the world, of course, but specifically in this country, is huge, that we have to talk about stuff like this that really just goes against anything that God has intended for humankind. But nonetheless, this is why laws are necessary at times, to make sure that people respond appropriately.
Tim, this issue of human trafficking is a much bigger problem than people realize, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. Globally, it's estimated that there are nearly 21 million people trapped in forced labor, labor of all types, including prostitution. In Michigan, 38 cases last year involving labor trafficking alone in my home state, a 52% increase in numbers reported since 2015, so it's going the wrong direction. And I think that's why there has been a real emphasis here in the House to push back against that, and now 16 separate bills dealing with various component parts of how we get at trafficking. We get at purveyors, we get at some of the websites, we get at some of the agencies. My bill directly went after the Department of Labor in giving them enhanced ability to watch what's going on.
So, Congressman, a lot of this is people being brought into the country, but there's also, domestically, there's issues of human trafficking.
There are, and it generally goes to people who get caught in either drugs or are homeless, runaways, etc., and someone offers them a so-called chance, a chance to make some money, a chance to be cared for, gets into a trap, and then they are truly trapped, now forced to do things that they never planned to do, and committed into a life that they can't get out of. The loneliness that must be there when they have this type of loss is a real challenge. So we're trying to hit it at all levels. My bill would give Department of Labor more training as they do inspections to know what to look for in a workplace, determine whether or not there may indeed be trafficked people there, ultimately know how to carry out investigations, and then what law enforcement agencies and components they can bring in. Some of the other bills deal with training even law enforcement to be more effective in dealing with this scourge, as well as putting money toward making sure that there are places that we can get people to and get them out of the process. So it is a comprehensive issue that we need to address in this country, and also try to globally assist other countries in getting their handle on it as well.
Now, you said one important part of fighting this unthinkable crime is strengthening our ability to detect and respond to patterns of labor exploitation. You talked about the Department of Labor being able to go and do these inspections. What type of stuff would they be looking for that would be indicators of individuals that are into forced labor?
Well, you can look at how people are treated in the work site. You can look at there's profiles of how the people appear, the way they hang their head at times, the secrecy, whether they're cloistered off somewhere. There are ways that you can determine that the site is not a good site because of the violations of health and safety. All of that type of thing can be useful, but this gives opportunity and encouragement to the Department of Labor to use the resources that are there, and we have resources out there, people who deal with this, agencies who deal with this, who understand what it means to be human trafficked and what it looks like and where it's taking place, and we want our inspectors who are going out to work sites to have that same training, so they're not just looking at the screening that's on machines, the type of concrete that's in place, the painting on the floors, the lighting, etc., but also looking into the faces of people that are in the workplace.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this Thursday afternoon. Michigan Congressman Tim Walberg, my guest, talking about three bills yesterday that passed the House unanimously. His bill passed unanimously, dealing with the detection of human trafficking. Does this, and I'm going to step back from the legislation for just a moment, Congressman, but does this not speak to a bigger problem of how we see human beings? You know, when we see them as created in the image of God, inherently having value, then we're less likely to mistreat fellow citizens or fellow human beings. But we've lost that in our society.
We have lost that, and more than lost it, we are pushing back against that concept now in many ways. Even the way we have really stepped upon religious liberties and seen those as something that are negotiable. Our framers and founders, you know as well as I do, Tony, saw this as a nation that was a nation built for freedom, built on biblical principles. There is no question about that. You just have to read the Federalist Papers and other documents of our founders, and you know for a fact that they were talking about a nation that had to be under the governance of God's principles if we were to survive. And because we were a nation of angels, we needed laws. But those laws were to back up those inalienable rights that are God-given, plus make sure that individuals were treated as entities that were created uniquely by a sovereign God that had best plans for their lives. That now is seen as wrong. In town halls that I've been at times, I've been jeered because I express the fact that I'm a Christian. I'm not trying to put it on anybody else, but I'm a Christian, and I think that should influence the way I deal with my position as a representative of the people, and it ought to make me better. To make me more trustworthy. But today we've seen that religion as something that's negotiable or that should be kept out of the public sphere. And I think that's been to our detriment when we've seen the breakdown of the families and seen that we can have alternate lifestyles that makes no difference, and yet it does. Why should we expect anything less than what we're seeing right now in a breakdown of the very foundations of our society and the opinions that hold us together?
Well, I commend the Congress, your leadership, obviously, but the bipartisan nature of Congress to deal with this issue of human trafficking. But it is a symptom, I see it, as of a greater problem. And as you just described, we have been trampling upon the very thing that preserves our society by the recognition that we are created in the image of God. Therefore, we inherently have value, and therefore we have no right to mistreat a fellow human being and force them into labor, whether that be, picking a particular product, a plant, produce, or enslaving them in sexual labor. We have no right to do that. But when you push that out of society, you lose that element. And I think we're reaping what has been sown over the last several decades.
I think we are, absolutely. And I think it should cause those of us who still have a understanding that there is a creator God, a sovereign God, who loves us, who cares for us, who has planned our lives for a positive purpose, that we stand up and be counted, yes, with grace and yet with firmness, with love expressed, but with a power that says, we are not going to accept this. We are going to push back against the darkness and try to display the light more effectively ourselves and not take no for an answer. I think too often we have acquiesced, saying, well, that's for the world. And we're not of the world. Well, we are in it, and we are to be salt and light where we're at. And if we were salt and light consistently, whether it was in the boardroom or whether it was in the classroom, whether it was in the manufacturing site, whether it was in the farm production field, or whether it's in politics, we would make a difference, Tony. And I appreciate your voice that gets this type of thing out to people who listen and at least have an opportunity to contemplate where is my place? How can I be effective in displaying the truth in a gracious way, but a firm way as well.
And displaying that truth in season and out of season, you know, when it's welcomed and when it's not. And that's why I appreciate you and so many of your colleagues on Capitol Hill that are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ and stand firm for those beliefs and those transcendent truths and do so in a way that I think is God-honoring and is winsome in winning others over. Let me ask you this final question, Congressman Wahlberg. What's next for the bill? Now, I know it goes to the Senate. What are the prospects over there?
Well, you know, I'd have to think that there's some decent prospects over there. We've sent 256 bills as of June 30th that sit languishing in the Senate. Thankfully, a number of them have already gone to the president, but 256 bills still languish there. These, I think, are different because they were so bipartisan coming from the House that I think there's probably a good shot that we get a number of these through, if not all 16, hopefully a number. I would hope that mine would be one of those as it deals with the Department of Labor and goes into areas of workforce. That it would be one of those. But we're just going to have to keep lobbying, talking to our senators, and your listeners can do the same, saying we've heard about 16 good bipartisan bills that have come from the House dealing with human trafficking and forced labor. We'd like you, Mr. or Ms. Senator, to pick it up, carry it across the line, get it to the president. I know the president's willing to sign it.
Well, that sounds like a deal. We'll encourage our listeners to do just that. Congressman Tim Wahlberg, as always, great to talk with you, my friend.
Good to talk with you, and thanks for the work you do.
All right, keep up the great work. Congressman Tim Wahlberg of Michigan. To find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. And, you know, I haven't done this in a while, but, you know, it'd be great. Go over there, go to the website, follow the links over to his site, and send him a note. Just say thank you. He is standing, like many that you'll hear on this program, standing for truth here in Washington, D.C. We got to talk about these things, and it's good to see bills like this pass. But as we do, we have to recognize that these are treating the symptoms. These are just the symptoms of a much greater problem. And it's because America morally has lost its way. And we have to return to the foundation of truth, even if there are those who oppose it. Coming up next, Senator John Barrasso of Wyoming gives us an update on the Senate version of the repeal bill. That's next.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. One of the places we visit on one of the days on our tour of Israel is the Shepherd's Fields. Now, this is a place in Bethlehem. You can look out on any given day and see shepherds with their sheep, as if it were 2,000 years ago during the birth of Christ. So that's a very special place that we visit. Yeah, the terrain would be the same. You can just picture yourself being there the night the angels sang about the glory of the coming of the Lord. That's just one of the places we visit on one of the days. So if you would like to join us on our March 8th through the 16th tour of Israel, we'd love to have you. Just go to the website twholyland.com for more information. TWHolyLand.com, or for a free brochure sent to you in the mail, call us at 800-FAMILIES. That's 1-800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, option 5.
So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23, now available in Montana. 855-PSALM-23.
Hi, this is Dan Celia from Financial Issues. You know, the charitable gift annuity concept is more important today than probably ever. It is something that you have heard me talk about for many, many years. And right now, for now, the tax code is still allowing charitable organizations to establish a charitable gift annuity so that you can be guaranteed permanent income for the rest of your life. Don't waste any time. So many of you have IRAs, 401k money. Peel off a piece of that. Establish your charitable gift annuity so that you have a portion of permanent income that you know is never going to change for the rest of your life. Would you do it today? Call AFA Foundation, 800-326-4543. Extension 345. That's 800-326-4543. Extension 345.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along. As we talked about earlier, news today here in Washington, D.C., the Senate has come together on some language. We've got some language on the repeal and replace of Obamacare. It's entitled the Better Care Act. It's a compromise between moderate and conservative Republicans. No Democrats expected to vote for the bill, but enough, hopefully, to get this over the top onto the president's desk where we can say bye-bye to Obamacare. Joining us now is Senator John Barrasso of Wyoming. Senator Barrasso has a long and distinguished career in both medicine and public service. He is the fourth-ranking member in the Senate, and he's the chairman of the Senate Republican Policy Committee. And he joins us actually from the airport as he's getting ready to head out of town. Senator, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Well, thanks so much for having me. Let me just start by saying thank you for your leadership. It was such a privilege to serve with you on the platform committee at the Republican National Convention last summer in Cleveland. And as you and I both know, what the New York Times called it, the most conservative Republican platform in 100 years. And it was one I think we can be very proud of. So thanks for all of your work on that.
Well, I appreciate that, Senator. And the exciting thing about it is we're actually seeing this administration use that platform as kind of a roadmap for what they're doing.
Well, they started on day one with the regulations, repealing so many of these punishing regulations that were burdensome, expensive, time-consuming, that made it harder to put people back to work. You know, that's what people in Wyoming want, jobs, you know, paychecks, prosperity. That's what the American people are asking for, and the Trump administration is clearly delivering.
And, of course, a key part of that platform was doing away with Obamacare, and we're one step closer today with the Senate coming up with compromise language.
Well, and it's very good language. Look, we all know that Obamacare has failed. We had some hospital administrators in today, and we said, you know, they had some concerns. They said, well, hey, do you like the way it's going right now? Oh, no, we can't live with that either. So we had a good conference meeting this morning. A lot of important work has been done, specifically in terms of consumer freedom and choice, which, you know, is Ted Cruz's amendment that I support what we're trying to do. I think people all around the country ought to be able to buy what insurance they want, not what the government tells them to have, something that's right for them and they can afford. We're also allowing for people with health savings accounts to use that money, you know, that they put in with pre-tax dollars and use it to help pay their premiums. So it's a huge step forward, and I'm really hoping we get it passed and get it to the president's desk.
Additionally, Senator, there's been a lot of work going into to make sure that taxpayers are not forced into partnership with a Planned Parenthood, or their tax dollars are not going to fund abortions, which was a big problem with Obamacare.
Well, it was, and they call that health care. And to me, as a pro-life senator, that's not wellness. That's not health care. And I want to make sure that no taxpayer dollars are used for that. And we believe we've accomplished that. So we continue to work to replace Obamacare with patient-centered approach, get the decisions out of Washington, get them back home where people know what works best in their own communities. And specifically with Medicaid, you know, Obamacare hijacked Medicaid. It was intended for people who were low-income women, children, and the disabled. And instead, Obamacare used it as a dumping ground for working-aged, able individuals who ought to be getting insurance through jobs rather than by crowding out on being on Medicaid, which makes it harder for those who are the most vulnerable to actually get to see a doctor. When one out of three doctors won't take a Medicaid patient, a new one, because there are so many people already on Medicaid and being more added, it makes it harder for those who are most vulnerable, who need the help the most.
Senator Brass, I know you've got to go catch a flight, but two more quick questions for you. One is,
sure,
the time frame here. What are we going to see a vote, we think, in the Senate next week on this bill?
No, that's the plan. We expect to get the final kind of scores from the Congressional Budget Office early next week and then go to the floor with a motion to proceed. You know, you need 50 votes. The vice president was at our conference meeting today. He's there to make sure that if we get to 50, he makes it 51 to break that tie, which is his role as president of the Senate. I'm committed to get there. We still work with everyone, but I thought it was a very solid, strong conference meeting today, an agreement that we want to repeal as absolute much of Obamacare as we can and replace it with patient-centered reforms. That's what we're all united to accomplish.
Does it look like at this point that we've got enough support among Republicans to get it over the top?
Nobody said this was ever going to be easy. There are certain folks that aren't as happy with us as they'd like in terms of Medicaid, and those particularly are senators in states that expanded Medicaid, whose governors are saying, well, hey, you can't take this away from people. What we need to do is phase out this expansion of Medicaid to get back to the point where this partnership between states and the federal government is truly a partnership. You know, the Obama administration paid bonuses for states to sign up able-bodied working-age individuals onto Medicaid, which hurt the people that Medicaid was initially intended to help, the most vulnerable. And that's the debate now with some of those who are reluctant to immediately sign on. They continue to focus on the Medicaid expansion, and they are in states that expanded Medicaid. But those of us who are in states that did not expand Medicaid, we know that we've done the responsible thing and the right thing, and we need to make sure we get back to that initial intention of Medicaid.
Senator Brasso, parting question in 30 seconds. A lot of damage has been done to our healthcare delivery system through Obamacare. Can we reverse that and bring America's healthcare system back to a stronger position than it was before?
Well, it's critical that we do. Even before Obamacare was passed, we need a system better than what we had before Obamacare was passed.
Right.
But when you listen to Bernie Sanders and the Democrats talk, they want they call it single payer, whatever you want to call it. It's government full control. When government controls health care, you see that with the VA system right now. You see the long lines and the concerns from our veterans. They're trying to get out of that system. But that's what Bernie Sanders and the Democrats, Elizabeth Warren and others, want for all of America, a system that is failing in Canada and failing in England in the sense that survivability in the United States is much higher for things like prostate cancer, breast cancer. And the reason is, it's not that our doctors are smarter than those other countries that have that single-payer, government-run plan. It's that you actually get care in the United States, not
right.
just get put on a waiting list.
Right.
And that's what a single-payer program would get you, a waiting list and rationing of care. Americans aren't going to tolerate that.
Senator John Brasso of Wyoming, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Folks, don't go away. We're right back on the other side of the break with more Washington Watch.
Making the most of your money, here's Dan Celia.
The International Energy Agency said that they are raising their output forecast for the month of June. They are increasing that. They're looking at 2017 demand going up 1.5%. That's about 98 million barrels a day. This is primarily due to consumption going up in Germany. That would be the largest economy in the Eurozone, and the U.S. So they're expecting demand to continue to grow through 2017. Of course, we've seen this week on Wednesday, we saw after Janet Yellen's testimony before the House, there seemed to be a fair amount of enthusiasm over the fact that she apparently says she is going to stay on target for raising interest rates. Well, I thought raising interest rates was a bad thing. But basically what that's saying to traders is the economy is stronger than some might think, so strong that the Fed is continuing to raise rates. That signal was what apparently drove the markets. Now she is speaking to the Senate, and I expect she's going to say the same things. European stock markets are headed towards their two and a half month high. China foreign direct investment, this is the investments that China's making in other countries, up 2.3% as their exports beat forecast 11.3%. So globally, things certainly seem to be on the right track.
Experience Dan Celia in person. Find a faith, family, and finance town hall meeting or seminar near you at afafoundation.net.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, tonyperkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at tperkins. Okay, I mentioned this top of the program. At the top of the hour, they finished the debate on the amendment from Vicky Hartzler. She was on yesterday talking about it. It's the amendment that essentially does is it prohibit the Department of Defense from spending limited resources on transgender surgeries. Doesn't, as the left claims, doesn't prohibit health care, only the surgery. Now, they're actually voting on these amendments right now on the House floor as we speak. But I want to play a clip. I have David Christensen, Vice President of Government Affairs, here in the studio with me. But I want to play a clip, David, of the debate earlier and just show how the truth means nothing to the Democrats who oppose common sense measures like this. This is Adam Smith, congressman from Washington State, who is the minority leader on the ranking minority. What do you call it?
Minority leader, yeah.
On the Armed Services Committee in the House. Okay, here's the clip.
But transgender people would be targeted to not be allowed to provide health care for their children. This isn't going to help readiness. This is a social agenda that has no business being in the defense bill. We didn't have it in committee. We shouldn't have it here on the floor. Let's focus on the threats that Ms. Hartzler talked about, not make this into a social agenda based on the ignorance of what transgender truly is.
Okay. I don't even know where to start with that. First off, denying health care to the children. I mean, crazy. This talks about prohibiting the military from using dollars, tax dollars, for one purpose and one purpose only, for transitioning surgeries and hormone treatments. It has nothing to do with health care. Secondly, Mr. Smith should go back and look at the historical record for the last 8 years and look how Mr. Obama used the military as a laboratory, a petri dish for social experimentation, pushing everything he could onto our nation's military without regard to our nation's defense and to the well-being of those serving in the military. These people have no clue what the truth is. And I commend Vicky Hartzler for her courage to stand up and say, when we're facing North Korea, a crazy man in North Korea with ballistic missiles, Russia, who is looking for every way they can to undermine our society, China, who is panting, chomping at the bit, and ISIS, and we want to spend money on transgender surgeries? She simply says, given the fact that our military is lacking in resources, we have a nation that's $20 trillion in the debt. We have marine aviators having to take parts off of planes in museums so that they can fly. Should we really be spending $110,000 so men can become women? Come on. These people are unbelievable. David, welcome to Washington Watch.
Good to be with you, Tony. I watching that debate was phenomenal in two respects. Also, Congressman Smith doesn't apparently realize that current law, right, not her amendment, current law does not allow transgender surgery of military dependents.
But he went beyond
that.
He went beyond that to say health care would not be provided to the children.
Which is,
it's a flat-out lie.
It's unfair, and it's, you know, I think Nancy Pelosi called – she went down to the floor. It's rare to have the Democrat leaders, Steny Hoyer and Nancy Pelosi, go to the floor and duke it out.
They're pandering.
Pelosi took a shot directly at Vicky Hartzler. She said that's a mean-spirited. And what's mean-spirited is lying about what the amendment does and lying about the fact that what Vicky Hartzler is attempting to do is ensure that our tax dollars are being used for our fighting force to fight wars, not social experimentation. So frankly, it's really unfair to paint that picture so blatantly false of what the amendment does.
Well, it's mean-spirited to put our nation at risk by diverting limited tax dollars to advance an agenda that is still considered a psychological problem.
And why has the Republicans had to fight for years under the Obama administration to increase the Defense Department budget? This is the first year where there's an increase in the Defense Department budget that's not connected to also increased social programs outside of the defense spending.
Yeah, they've tried to put abortion through it. They've homosexuality. Yeah. And of course, from that – and folks – you can verify this. Look at the record. They used the military, and then, just as Nancy Pelosi said on the floor today, well, these people serve their country. They should be deserving of this. Once they push this, enforce this agenda on the military, from there, they force it onto the rest of the country. And that's how they've been using the military for the last 8 years.
Well, I think you're right. I think it's going to be a close vote. That vote should be happening any minute, really. And we've worked hard to try to get members to vote for the amendment.
It's not over. It is not over, as they say, until the fat lady sings, and she hasn't sung yet. All right, David, thanks so much for
stopping
by. All right, don't go away. On the other side of the break, we're going to be taking your phone calls here on Washington Watch. Check out the website, TonyPerkins.com. We're back after this.
Girls having privacy in school showers, locker rooms, and bathrooms is a no-brainer, right? Not everybody thinks so. Fairfax County, Virginia has become ground zero in the efforts to impose transgender ideology on American school children. The school system there is one of the largest in the United States, and its close proximity to Washington, D.C. has made it a target for the efforts to mainstream this radical ideology. Even after the Trump administration revoked Obama's directive threatening the nation's public schools, the fight continues at the state and district level. But parents and concerned citizens can fight back. In a recent panel discussion, three different perspectives from a school board member, a concerned parent, and an attorney are presented. They expose the tactics used by the transgender lobbyists and explore the strategies parents and taxpayers can use to fight back. Discover how to implement a 5-point plan to educate, explain, engage, empower, and elect in order to combat the transgender ideology in public schools. Visit frc.org/events to view this vital discussion.
Christian apologist Frank Turek.
75% of young people walk away from the church once they leave the home, and one of the major reasons is they don't know why Christianity's true.
Join Frank Turek and others at Southern Evangelical Seminary's National Conference on Christian Apologetics, October 13th and 14th in Charlotte, North Carolina. Witness live debate and the premiere of American Family Association's documentary, The God Who Speaks. Early bird pricing ends August 1st. Visit ses.edu for details.
God has uniquely gifted you for His purposes. You are wired for good works. Volunteering with Operation Christmas Child directly connects you with God's global purposes. By serving year-round, you further the proclamation of the gospel in more than 150 countries through a simple gift-filled shoebox. To learn more about local, year-round opportunities to make disciples, or to apply, visit SamaritansPurse.org/volunteer with OCC.
Your mission is to find Granny and get that sauce.
Affirmative.
1 million moms in association with American Family Studios introduces Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent.
I'm Ryan DeFrady's. I work alone.
Ryan is arrogant and reckless until the day he's paired with a very unlikely partner.
No way! I can do this alone, without anyone's help, much less my mom's.
Look, Ryan.
She's my mom!
Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent is the new action-adventure series featuring a young spy with a whole lot to learn.
Mama's coming, sweetie!
She's an agent! Get her, boys!
Each exciting, fun-filled episode teaches children important values, like honoring parents and respecting authority. And there's a brief wrap-up at the end that connects the story to a biblical illustration. Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent. Perfect for children ages 6 and over. Order yours today at ryansecretagent.com.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, tonyperkins.com. All right, the vote actually on Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler amendment is taking place right now. And as soon as it's a two-minute vote, as soon as that vote takes place, I'll give you the results of that. Okay, just getting word that her amendment failed to pass. The vote count was 209 to 214, so it failed by just a handful of votes. Well, folks, I will get you. We'll have out for you how your members of Congress voted. This is a vote that we will score, and you need to immediately weigh in with your members of Congress, especially those Republican members who did not vote for this amendment. In fact, what they did is they voted to spend taxpayer dollars that could go to equip our troops with essential material. They've decided they're going to spend that on transition surgeries for transgenders. Folks, you know, this is going back to my first interview with Congressman Wahlberg, you know, dealing with this issue of human trafficking. And it's a huge problem. I mean, it's a huge problem. And it's not just, as we talked about, not just people being brought into this country that are being trafficked for labor purposes and sexual exploitation. It's people here in this country. It's teenagers, you know, some cases runaways. But in other cases, I mean, this is happening in middle-class neighborhoods where, you know, through different means, people are being exploited. And some are still living at home. This is a huge problem. But as we talked about, it's a symptom of a much bigger problem. It's a symptom of a moral and spiritual breakdown. And you can trace it back. I mean, it goes back to, you know, denying the fact that we're created in the image of God, that somehow we're just a byproduct of something that took place in a bunch of atoms or whatever came together, and, you know, poof, there you got life. we evolved by chance, when in fact we are created in the image of God. In fact, as we read of the prophet Jeremiah, he was known in his mother's womb, in David, when God knit him together in his mother's womb. So we're here by design, each and every one of us, and so we each have value. Now, you know, people make decisions and they devalue their selves and their lives, but that does not in any way negate their inherent value. That's why we can disagree with people who are pushing these radical agendas that are destructive to both themselves and to our society. But that does not in any way reduce their inherent value. You know, the most pro-abortion activist, those that are pushing the radical homosexual agenda, they have value, inherent value. Now, they are devaluing their lives by the choices and the behaviors, as all do, whether it's, I mean, all that choose to do things that are contrary to God's design. You know, when we go against his plan and his purpose, we devalue our lives. But that does not mean that the inherent value in any way is diminished. It's because we're created in the image of God. But once we lose that, then we can begin to abuse other people, use other people, and see them there for, well, essentially the survival of the fittest. Whoever is the strongest rises to the top. That's the Darwinian worldview. That's the result of rejecting a biblical worldview. And so then we spend literally millions and billions of dollars to try to address the symptoms. Well, the same thing is true here with what we are seeing in our nation's military and in the policies of redefining marriage, something the courts did. Of course, the Obama administration paving the way for that. I was just reading an article the other day about a massive concern from CDC, Center for Disease Control, with this is happening globally, a new strain of gonorrhea that is untreatable by antibiotics. It is a gonorrhea, sexually transmitted disease, is very, well, it changes rapidly based upon antibiotics. And now there is a strain that is moving that is untreatable from antibiotics. And so the article was talking about how we've got to put more resources into developing these antibiotics, and we should. We need to. But there was no discussion about the behavior that leads to the spread of this sexually transmitted disease. Does it not make sense to say, okay, we got a problem here, okay? We got a problem. People are going to die. Innocent people, actually, are, you know, I mean, some of this is passed on through birth, and then other people unwittingly engage in sexual behavior. Obviously, they shouldn't. But they are infected, and then so on and so forth. It spreads. Some people doing it intentionally. But shouldn't we say, okay, we got a problem. What if we told people, we went back to this idea of people reserving sexual relations to marriage for a multitude of reasons. Number one, children generally are the product of sexual relations. And we know unequivocally that children do best and have the greatest chance of survival and thriving if they are born into a relationship between a man and a woman who are married. Now, that doesn't mean every case, but the vast majority. We also know that if young people abstain from sexual relations until marriage, we know a couple of things. One, they won't get a sexually transmitted disease. That's one way to get at the gonorrhea problem. We also know that emotionally, they will be much better off because there is an emotional aspect of sexual intimacy and promiscuity that leads to, in some cases, depression among young people. And we also know from the government's own data that the more sexual partners that a young girl has before marriage, the more likely that an eventual marriage will end in divorce. And again, that's based on the government's own research and data. So why not go beyond the symptom to the source of the problem? And that brings me back to this discussion of how our military is being used for this social experimentation. Now, the Secretary of Defense, General Mattis, who was a Marine general, disappointed in his leadership on these issues and on many of the issues. He said his standard of evaluation for our military would be, does this policy make our military a more lethal fighting force? And I'm paraphrasing, but that's essentially what he said in his confirmation hearing. It was a good statement. I applauded it. There's no way on God's green earth that continuing the radical social policies of the Obama administration, continuing those in our nation's military would make them more effective. Let's look at the facts. Since the Obama agenda was pushed onto our nation's military and homosexuality became open in our military, the military was forced to embrace it, we have seen sexual assault continually rise to where it's become, it was almost a crisis. And look at the numbers. They don't want to mention this. The number of male-on-male sexual assaults is what is astronomic. Relationship to the policy? Did it just happen? So they want to spend all of this time in training on sexual abuse and sexual assault reporting. And so we spend thousands and thousands of man hours, millions of dollars to address these problems, symptoms of a bigger problem that they create with their own policies. So they create these problems and they get, you know, they demand more money and, you know, of course, that's why we have $20 trillion in debt, is because government policies have created so many problems, which then demands an expansion of government to address the problem that government created in the begin with. So I'm saying when we look at these things, you've got to look at the consequences. And this is going to have negative consequences for our military. Now, the Trump administration is going to have to address this, because what General Mattis did, Secretary Mattis, is basically delayed this policy for 6 months. That he did that on June 30th. So it would go into effect where the military would begin recruiting people into our nation's military that identify as transgender. They can come in, and then the taxpayer will have to pay if they want to get a transition surgery. They want to transition from male to female or female to male. Now, you tell me that makes sense. Most insurance policies, especially now if we get back to a market-based system, you're not going to see a lot of the healthcare plans doing this on their own because it's an elective surgery. It's not a medically required or necessary surgery. In fact, most that get it can have a higher rate of depression, leading to many suicides. Of course, once you go that route of the surgery, it's hard to reverse. Is this what our government needs to be doing? So I think this now becomes a policy for the Trump administration. It's no longer an Obama-era policy. This is the Trump administration, and they're going to have to deal with this, lest our military be plagued with yet another problem and taxpayers be on the hook to pay for it. So we're going to put this out. If you're not already getting our daily update, you need to sign up for that. And you can do that by going to TonyPerkins.com. That way you get our alerts. You get the daily update, just kind of keeping you aware of these things. And we will be tomorrow. We'll have a link on that to how people voted on this bill. Of course, we'll be doing a scorecard that we do at the end of every session of Congress. But you need to know now, because you need to follow up with your member of Congress. If your member of Congress voted right, you need to contact them and commend them and thank them for doing the right thing. If they were on the wrong side of this issue, especially the Republicans, but it doesn't matter if it's Republican or Democrat, you need to contact them and ask them why they want to spend limited resources that should be going to equip and care for our members of the military. Why are they directing it to elective surgeries for transgenders? Why? Let them explain that. Great question in August when House members are going to be back in their districts just in a couple of weeks, be back in their district for town hall meetings. So be sure and get that list. We'll have it up probably tomorrow as well on the website, TonyPerkins.com. But go ahead and sign up and get that daily update and those alerts so that you can be prepared to respond and make a difference. You know, there are so many more issues coming up in Congress. And as we were talking about earlier today, you've got to be engaged. You've got to be involved. You got to be informed. But your voice matters. And I was talking to a member. I was on the phone till late last night with members of Congress. And, you know, they were saying, members of Congress fear the LGBT community. They're so vicious. That's what they're saying. And I said, well, I don't want them to fear Christians. They shouldn't fear us. They should respect us. And I don't care if somebody voted the wrong way. You know, you don't need to be ugly with them. But just say, why did you do the wrong thing? We need to pray for them, pray that they see the light and they do the right thing. But they need to know we're watching, we're engaged, we're involved, and we are going to vote accordingly. And we will influence our friends and family to do the same. We can be vocal without being vicious, as many on the other side of these issues are. We should never be offensive in our conduct. The truth may offend some. That's not really not our problem if they're offended by the truth. But let us never be offensive. All right, folks, out of time, but I wanted to address that. And anyway, we're out of time. I want to encourage you, as the Apostle Paul does in Ephesians chapter 6, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.